Hello and welcome to the Over Under Achievers. I'm on your host, Knox McCoy. Joining me as always, he just stole $16 million from his client. It's Jason Waterfalls. Jason, how could you? How could you?
Let me ask you a question. As two people, I'm the world's evenest gambler. I looked at my DraftKings account, not a sponsor, and the amount of money, total money I bet, and the total money I made over the year was just like a couple hundred dollars difference.
Right, right.
And
but the cash flow, my man, the cash
flow is a large number. And it was a very large, it was a five-digit number, and the total difference was a couple hundred dollars. As someone that maybe historically has bought Hawaiian Islands, and then also has like 13 cents left in their account.
Right.
Do you feel like you're the victim of this story? Like, this is all about a very bad gambler. Is there theft? Sure.
Yeah.
But if this guy won his bets, do we get to hear the same story? I don't think this is fair.
Look, there's, okay, this is very, and I say this with respect. This is a lot like my father-in-law at a slot machine. There's no story where he wins. It's just, this goes long. Like even like Ashley at a casino, I have to have eyes on her because there's no scenario where she walks away with like money. It's just how long does it take to lose all the money, right? That's really what we're talking about. So with Otani's interpreter, there, although it's hilarious to be like, he's actually more wealthy than Otani because he used Otani's money to like place bets on AD hitting his like rebounds over or whatever. There's just no scenario where he doesn't lose all this money. See, I'm more fascinated with that as someone who can like kind of turtle up with it when it comes to bad news, especially on the financial front. The idea that Shohei just like didn't know where $16 million was, and like it wasn't even like, "Hey, have we found that yet?" He just didn't even know to ask the question about the $16 million.
There are several parts of the story that are kind of sad, and really sad, and unfortunate, but. This is why we don't say all of our bet numbers. And this is why we don't steal and then use that money for gambling. You know, this is why we don't do it, because having all of your bets placed out there and how bad of an actual gambler you were and how it costs somebody like relationships and trust and all of this.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. And I'm here to say I'm good financially, gamble responsibly, et cetera. Yeah. Are you okay? I'm checking in on you. This is really, look, bottom line, this is about you.
I'm great. I have, you know, I did really well in the NCAA tournament. I kind of kept my powder dry in the Masters. You know, I dabbled a little bit, did fine, lost some bets, won with Scotty. So I'm keeping it like locked and loaded until next football season. You know, the balance is really strong. You know, we're just like, we're barely under four digits right now. And I'm just kind of looking around. So
is
like
this
Otani,
above the board? Is this above the board? I don't know why I said waterboard. Yeah. Is this above the board money that you're using? I just don't want.
This is non-crypto. This is not Bitcoin. Shohei, if you need a loan, your boy's got you. Okay? I'm not like super liquid, but I'm moist. I didn't love saying it as soon as it came out of my mouth. But I was sitting here thinking, we've kind of evolved to a pivot point in our culture, especially with super heteronormative gentlemen, to the point where I would say a real dilemma would be if someone came to you and was like, I can reveal A, your search history, or B, your bet history. Which do you prefer? I would be like, you can have my search history. Don't show anyone my bet history. You know what I mean?
I know, but
I don't want
here's
anyone
what I'm thinking.
Seeing that.
Okay. I don't have anything bad in my search history, but I also like, what's so bad in your bet history? I think that it would be incredible fodder of like, especially going backwards and like, you can't have hindsight in betting, right?
Yeah.
But going back and being like, you thought that this 18 leg same game parlay X was going to hit? That's exactly.
Yeah, but it was only $2. It was only $2 and I was going to retire from work. That's the rationale. I think the banter about it would be good. The tough part would be like, okay, so you thought that Washington was going to cover against Michigan in the title game.
Okay.
And at what point did you know that was wrong?
I didn't know if it was like the super long shots or like
no.
The times we bet against Tom Brady and the times we bet against Patrick Mahomes that we've already addressed. So like there's a lot of those that we've already addressed. So why not let those be shown?
But it has the feeling of like in school when everyone has that like very just nihilistic teacher who puts your essay on the projector and like, let's cut through this and see what hot garbage we have today. And just be like, word choice, terrible, syntax, horrible, paragraph flow, terrible. I don't need that in my life right now. You know,
What? Show my search history, because when you really pile up the amount of times I bet like on the Raiders to cover, or the amount of times I bet on the Falcons and, you know, years ago, and we just had to stop betting on the Falcons with Matt Ryan. Like, there's going to be systemic trends that I knew about at the time. And then the prosecutor's going to be like, did you know about this? And I'm gonna be like, I did. And I'll have to tell the truth. And I just kept going. Those are going to be hard to convince a jury that I'm not a crazy person.
Look, okay. Number one, we're not going to talk about the Trump jury selection, but the judge going through those memes people have been sharing and just being like,
did you hear that they asked them all what podcast they listen to as well?
No. Did anybody say ours? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. I'm just going to assume they all did.
Yep.
I've never seen like such a, like, I know that's going to be an SNL this week. I just know that's going to be cold open. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Which is tremendous. But I've kind of like talked myself out of the bets and back into protect my search history, because it's not like anything hinky or weird. It'd just be like, somebody be like, why did you spend 3 hours Thursday night researching antihistamines and whether or not you can get illegal antihistamines from Honduras and if they're more effective? Like, that's not healthy. You don't need to do that anymore. That would be more embarrassing to me.
Well, that was, like, I was interesting why you said that right away, because for your main job, the podcast, you Google search some weird things. And I'm talking about deep into the, deep up to the Urban Dictionary, deep into several things that, if not clearly given context that I have a pop culture podcast, that this is directly related to, some of those searches, I'd have to imagine, and for research for your book, have got to be pretty wild.
First of all, thank you so much for even positing the idea that I do research for any book I write. I love that, and I appreciate you giving me that kudos and credit, because that's definitely not a thing that I've ever done, but maybe I should. Maybe, you know, maybe that would be it.
I mean, you've been living research as a married person for your marriage
book. Exactly. I think that's great. Jason, it's been a minute. I just want to check in. How are you? How are we? People reached out in the AUA and they're like, hey, is Overachievers coming back? What's the deal? So like, let's go micro. How are you? Then go macro. How are we?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to switch that up, because I'm more of a macro person when you think about it.
I literally put it on a platter and you're just like, no, I don't like it.
No, I just wanted to say that. I'm great. Everything's great. Busy times, not an excuse. Here's the bottom line, okay, about us. We went to a place where we had ads placed for us, and we were making, you know, four figures a month, meaning like $899, and we were calling it $1,000. And it kind of just justified what we enjoy doing here. But the truth is, that went away pretty quickly, and ads across the entire industry are what they are. So we are looking to remodel a little bit, and we don't know what that is yet. So that being said, we intend to keep going. We don't know what the model is. We are actively figuring that out, and we will tell everybody. We appreciate everybody reaching out. Hopefully more cool things, etc. But it's not all figured out, but we're here to have fun.
Not to go behind the PNG curtain, but a lot of this was a casualty of just the work week, because Mondays are recording, Tuesdays are editing, and sometimes AUAs, sometimes other things. Wednesdays are kind of an open space, but for Jason, your job, they're kind of really jammed up. And then sometimes we have podcast recordings, and then Thursdays are like 3 to 4 meetings at least, with no space for recording. And then Fridays we do Survivor. So that it was a little bit of a casualty of the schedule. But to the ads point, and we might talk about this in more depth on the podcast. This might be super boring for anyone like who's like, I literally just don't care about podcasting industry. Just give me the takes and the good stuff. And tell me about like that Honduran antihistamine you might get your hands on. I'll let you know if I do. They're essentially, long story short, the ad market is in freefall, depression, collapse, unless you're like Joe Rogan or a big deal. So the rest of us are left to try to figure out what to do in the rubble of the ad market, which means there's going to be some shifting. There's going to be some pivots. There's going to be some creativity and reimagination. For the purposes of what we're doing, I don't think it's going to change much. We still want to do content and the show, and we're going to figure that out, especially after we get out of this busy season. But the nature of what that content is might change a little bit, and where it is might change a little bit. I wish we had something more substantive or formalized. But you know, we're just like Shohei's interpreter. We're wind babies. You know, we're just going all in on every moment. You know,
did you call us wind babies?
Whim, WHIM. You know, we're just riding the whims, the vibes. We're just like letting it rip. You know, just seeing what's up. I was about to quote Lifehouse, but it feels like the moment passed, you know, hanging by a moment here with you. But, but yeah, so we're back. I feel good. It's the week eve of the NFL draft. Our favorite, I'm not going to speak for you, my favorite time of the year. I feel like it's one of your favorite times of the year. But before we get into, like, I don't know that we're going to ever do like a mock draft. You know, we'll probably have more thoughtful conversation next week about it. But I feel like in honor of the draft coming up, let's do Start Sit Cut with, I wanted, you know, obviously there's, I mean, depending on who you talk to, the hierarchy of quarterbacks could be very different. Do you depart from the norm of, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May as the top three?
As the top three or in that specific order?
Just top three. Absolutely. Not that specific order.
Absolutely.
You're okay. Good. Because if you were honestly, if after like a month of no episodes, if you're going to come back and be like, I think JJ McCarthy is the second best quarterback, I think I'd be like, wrap it up. It's a wrap. We're done here.
Okay. But let's be clear. Don't. There's always a quarter.
I can't.
Come
I can't
on.
Do this.
Just 10 seconds. There's
JJ
always a quarterback
McCarthy
that
becoming
like
if, your Akatar and being like, actually, no. You don't get it. Like you just have to read it and understand it. I can't.
I don't want to do that. And that's not what I'm doing, but I am saying that there's a quarterback that underachieved in college that comes out and is pretty good. And being the fourth quarterback taken, regardless of when you're taken, is a lot less pressure on you than these top three guys. And we've seen that multiple times. I'm not saying I like JJ McCarthy. I'm saying he's fitting into a draft stereotype that you and I have seen before. That's okay. All I'm saying. The aura around him, not him and his ability, he's going to be taken, I don't know, 10th, 15th, and then sit for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, he's going to get a couple starting gigs. And then we're going to be like, oh my gosh, Drake May did nothing. He's the next Sam Howell, who also did nothing. Who's the next Taylor Heineke, who also did nothing. But the truth is, like, situation, et cetera, works into it. So it's like, I can see how JJ might be an okay backup for 10 years in the NFL. And one of, and two or three of these top three guys may do absolutely nothing. May. Not Drake, maybe.
I take your point. I hear your point. I need you to also acknowledge to the audience and me, your friend, that you have the biggest, like, mediocre, white, charismatic quarterback goggles of anybody that maybe exists in the world. Like, JJ McCarthy could not be better, like, more in.
It's not white, because I like Kellen Mond. It's not white.
Okay, fair point. Cool name quarterbacks who are mediocre and come into the equation saying, I can't throw the ball downfield accurately. You just need to know that about me. I'm JJ, I'm 20-something, and I'm not going to be accurate further down the field than 10 yards. And you love that so much. You have to say yes.
Then you say to everybody right now that Joe Milton is going to be a better NFL quarterback than JJ McCarthy.
That's not true. Neither of them are going to be good.
Fact. No, that's not what I asked. One versus one.
If I have to take one, Nerf gun to my head, who would I take? Oh my gosh, this is such a this is such a dilemma. I got to be
honest.
Well,
okay, that's what you're putting me into.
Qualify. I need more specificity. Who has a longer career? Like who is on a roster longer, or who has like. I've got an opportunity, and
who starts more games? I'm not even going for wins.
Ooh, who starts more games? That's so difficult. I think it's actually JJ, because there's like he's got that he don't have a dog in him. He's got a Desmond Ridder in him. You know, where a coach will be like, this guy's not going to lose me the game, and then like you know they're 0-8, and he's like, oh, okay, he's not going to win me a game either. That's weird. Whereas Joe Milton, he might have one great game. And then he's going to like decapitate someone with an errant throw, like in spring walkthroughs or whatever. And then like, that's it for him. Like, that's all she wrote.
I get it, but that's the type of situation you're putting me in, right? It's like an impossible situation. I'm just saying, as a draft analyst that you and I are professionally and we get paid to do $0, but that's, you know, a check still comes. He's fitting this mold that all of a sudden somebody's, if you take the JJ side, and why wouldn't we just take this side? He just be like, yeah, I think he's going to be an okay pro. That's all we're saying.
Because people don't come here for the Manila folder takes. They are here for
just texted
the
Andre.
Heat. I want Andre's perspective, because I think he also, I know he hates Joe Milton, but I think he also disdains JJ McCarthy. So he's like actually arrived at true objectivity between the hatreds of both equally. I don't even know what we're talking about and why we're talking. Oh, we're getting to like,
because I'm getting so close to saying I like JJ McCarthy, and I'm not going to say that. And that's not what I've been saying, but I do understand how people around me believe that I am on the verge of saying that. I do understand that. I take accountability for that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's fitting into the fourth quarterback taken that has so much less pressure on them. Right? And that's what it is.
Honestly, this feels like watching you get into astrology in real time and me just being like, it doesn't matter what Mercury is doing. You're either an a-hole or you're not. And Mercury is a position according to the sun or whatever, or retrograde or pretrograde or whatever, doesn't matter. That's what it feels like when you're talking to me about JJ McCarthy.
When all of these people on Earth say Mercury's in retrograde, don't you think it's Mercury's choice?
Let's let Mercury decide what kind of emotional state it's in.
That's, you know, my point.
Like, that's fair. Yeah, I like
that. Did anybody ask Mercury?
I mean, honestly,
is Earth ever in retrograde?
Have you ever looked at Mercury's atmosphere? It's not like it's a great situation. So for it to be the moral center,
I want to be very clear. I just tricked you into being an astrology guy, and now you like JJ McCarthy. That's what just happened. That's my point. That's how fast it can happen. You just went full astrology mode just because I asked one question about retrograde. That's how fast it can happen.
The fact that he meditates before games.
That's not a problem. That's
not a thing. No, I'm saying if he didn't do that, I'd be like, this guy sucks. But the fact that he is like trying to be emotionally healthy, I'm like, dang, I wanted this against you.
Okay. I don't know what to do with Dak. Would you rather have Dak or JJ McCarthy?
Well, Dak at like $56 million or whatever it's going to be this year.
Yes.
And like, you don't get him next year probably. I mean, is that like the sneaky story of the NFL? Is like, he's not going to be on the Cowboys next year?
I think he is.
You think he is? You think Jerry's going to be like, okay, F it. Here's $75 million a year.
Yeah. That's because the number just keeps going up and jumped big time.
Do you want to do it or should I do it? What's he going to say when he signs that contract?
Okay, here we go.
Come on, put your heart's not in it. Put your heart into it. You know,
my throat's not warmed up. I need the reps.
Sorry, allergy guy. Okay, here we go.
Allergy guy, you're looking up Honduran antihistamines.
Yeah, because I'm managing my allergies. I'm not
so
making
am I.
It be an excuse so I don't do voice work on
one Zyzol every night. Not a sponsor yet.
So in terms of Starsit Cut, with the I would say commercially approved, canonical top three quarterbacks of this class. Give me who you're starting. Give me who you're sitting. Give me who you're cutting. Because I feel like this is actually a much more difficult conversation than I think it is.
I agree. I don't care about any of the crying, the nail polish, the phone case thing. I'm absolutely starting Caleb. There's no question.
You don't care about that stuff at
all. No, not in the context of this. It's like, I've seen him do stuff on the field. I know all of the comparisons are with Mahomes. I want that on my team. Let's try it. If you're the Bears, that's the best swing to take. There's no doubt about it. And from all accounts, he's definitely going there. That's not why I'm making my choice. But I actually do think he is the best quarterback prospect in this entire draft.
I don't disagree like with the technical aspect of it. Him having a pink phone case or painting his nails or crying after a loss, those separately don't bother me. I think it's each of those things contributes just a teensy little bit of smoke that when taken together, I do think, I don't know that I love this, because like traditionally it seems like NFL quarterbacks, there's not a huge track record of very successful NFL quarterbacks who are also kind of dramatic and have a little bit of smoke to them on the side.
You're literally talking about Patrick Mahomes now, who has all of that in spades.
He's not dramatic though. Patrick Mahomes is not dramatic. I don't think so. He's got a brother and a wife situation out of his control, not his control. I'm talking about people.
And unfortunately, a dad situation, like all roads lead to.
All roads lead to Rome. Is this a question? Is it
rhetorical? To Patrick Mahomes. Sorry.
Oh, I know, but he's
that
not
was
like,
way more dramatic than I intended it to be. I was not a trick.
He's not doing those things, right? That's just things happening around him. That's not his fault. And part of me worries, is this going to be, it's not necessarily like Caleb Williams is bad. And it's not necessarily like the Bears aren't in a great situation, because I think like organizationally they are. Is this like a super bad combination of city, team, and quarterback? And like when the music ends, it's like, woof, this was not a good fit for anybody involved.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think that's, I think this, is, I know right now this is my start. Who's your start?
That's the hard part, is like, I can give a pretty compelling argument for no one to start, right? Because they all, and this is where we get in the NFL draft. Like everyone's talking about the bad stuff because they want stock to fall. I think I've actually,
it's not one of them. We need to cut one of them. And it's not because we don't like the person. But I'm very curious where you're going to go here. We had a clear thread throughout the fall on one person doing something that made us very nervous.
I love Jaden Daniels.
I know you
the
do.
The fact that he is like the coyote from the Roadrunner coyote cartoons.
Yes.
He just gets absolutely,
and I hope
waylaid.
It changes for him in the pros. But I got to tell you, and when you watch the tape of the good plays, and you watch the tape of the extremely hard hits that he puts himself in the middle of, okay, you go, oh, he's tough if you want to. But it's like RG3, man. Like
it is.
He reminds me more of RG3 than anybody else. He reminds me of early Josh Allen.
Just sledgehammered, though. Like he you know, there was, I feel like RG3, unfortunately, like he had some, I think, injuries in college. And then like he had some bad turf situations in the NFL. Jaden Daniels literally just gets like run over by a train once a game in college. That's not going to go well in the NFL. I don't know if you can coach that out of somebody.
Ask Josh Allen. You can't, but guess what? Jaden Daniels is also not 6'5", 250 and can bounce back up like Josh Allen does. Like he plays that same kind of ball, but my man gets rocked sometimes.
He does. If he didn't get rocked once a game, I think he would be my start. But the fact that he does, I think that has to make him cut, make him my cut, because I just can't roll with quarterbacks who I know are going to get injured. You know, it's like the Bryce Young thing. It's even Lamar to an extent, which it's really going to be interesting with the Ravens now that Lamar's getting paid, because like for so long they had that he's not getting paid. So are they going to be able to? Andre, I asked Andre in our text thread, who would be a better pro, JJ McCarthy or Joe Milton? And he replied with a Neil Patrick Harris gif saying, really singing the word poop. So I don't know if that helps.
So didn't answer the question is the bottom line.
Maybe he's doing more research. He's doing more research.
I doubt Andre is doing more research on JJ McCarthy and Joe Milton.
Maybe on Joe Milton. The scary part, I think Drake May seems like the guy. He seems like safe. He seems like he's going to be productive. Warren Sharp at some point a couple weeks ago shared some data that was like from throws within the pocket, 0 to 9 yards. He was 92nd out of 123 college quarterbacks. Throws 10 to 19 yards down the field, he was 101st out of 103 quarterbacks. And 20 yards down the field, he was 40th out of 78 quarterbacks. I don't know. Does that mean like 65 quarterbacks didn't attempt to throw 20 yards down the field like in college? I don't know how that math works.
I could actually imagine that happening. I mean, there's some teams that just dink and dunk the entire
20
time.
20 yards? You can't throw about 20 yards downfield once in a
You're
season?
You're literally blaming JJ McCarthy for exactly thus.
Yeah, I am. There's some sneaky stuff. Like Merrill Hodges said he's going to get a coach fired. Where's Merrill Hodges
at these days?
I feel like he's working at like a Jay Alexander's. And they're just like, hey, we're just trying to see some tables. Like, I don't need your quarterback tapes right now.
I don't remember any of the Merrill Hodge. Like, I know he had an illness of some kind, but.
Oh, did he? Why you got to do me like that?
No. I'm going to. Did he not? I don't know. I thought he was.
I mean, we all have illnesses at some point, you know?
Yeah, that's my point. Like, exactly. It could have just been a cold.
Can I ask you complicated something cold right now? Just cold. Like, what do you think Sean Salisbury is doing right now?
He's got a radio show in Cincinnati?
That feels like a very educated guess. NEC Alive. do you know that he's still alive?
Listen, this goes to the search history thing. I've searched both these guys within the last year. I would just remember, like, they're going to do a 30 for 30 on Stuart Scott. I'm very interested in that. Stuart Scott was never my favorite, but of course, others, the cool side of the pillow, all that side, all those different things. He was a very cool guy. I'm very interested. He got tried out for the Jets, got hit in the eye with a ball, all those things. I'm very interested with a Stuart Scott 30 for 30. That being said, I think my history with Merrill Hodge is up and down, because I think I used to really like him, and then I think I found out that he just kept saying the same negative thing over and over again, which at the time was a little different. And then I didn't like him anymore. And then he just kind of disappeared.
I can't get like a, man, this, I don't want to go like this deep into,
but this is like, what's our search history? What is Sean Salisbury up to now? Where is Merrill Hodge?
Sean Salisbury radio show in Houston. So you were close.
Okay.
You were really close. I can't find Merrill Hodge. My issue with him was like, he went with a toupee for way too long. Like
allegedly
way too long.
Allegedly.
Okay, sure. Maybe allegedly, but definitely sure. Can I tell you the 30 for 30 ESPN broadcaster I'm not going to watch, and I have no interest in watching? The Scott Van Pelt. I'm just
what?
I'm firmly, I've really thought about this for a while. I've talked to Ashley, I've prayed about it, talked to a therapist. I really don't like Scott Van Pelt. I think he's
Idea that two of those things are true. You did talk to Scott Van Pelt either in your prayers to Ashley or a therapist, and only two out of three. And the listener just has to figure out which two is correct.
No, I think I was watching Shogun the other night, and I turned to Ashley and I was like, I just think Scott Van Pelt's cringe and corny. And she was like, maybe you should write that down. You know, maybe write about it. Don't talk to me about it. And I just do. He's in a commercial with Stanford Steve where they're trying to order pizza or wings. And the way he's trying to act like a cool person is it feels like youth group theater. And it hurts me every time I have to watch it.
I'm not going to, you're not wrong. Let's say that. I don't 100% agree. I do like Scott Van Pelt, but a 30 for 30 would be interesting. Because he came from like CNN or Golf Channel.
Yeah, that's right. Like Tiger Woods gave an interview and now he's the host of SportsCenter, which I don't know. Maybe we should have other qualifications, you know? So, okay, I'm going to go. Oh.
Is your favorite quarterback in this draft Jaden Daniels? Because he is mine as far as a ceiling perspective. But that being said, I end up taking Caleb Williams.
Maybe I should be the real Notre Dame fan here, and I'm going to start Sam Hartman.
Oh my
and
gosh!
And I'm going to sit Caleb.
I'm
Williams.
Literally on a CBS site right now, and Brady Quinn is it like in the little like CBS Sports HQ side panel video?
Yeah.
And I'm not bringing up to hold back, okay? I got a Notre Dame hat right behind me, but then you're going to do this. But if I bring it up, it's negative. But if you bring it up, it's negative at me because I didn't bring it up.
Schrodinger's cat, man. You know, like things can be true and false at the same time. I texted you on the group that group chat. Bo Nix is going to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos next year, and Sean Payton's going to love him. He's like a lankier Drew Brees. And it just if you think you're going to get the ball 18 yards downfield, like it's not happening, you know.
Bo Nix is not a lankier Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Oh,
Bo
I know.
Bo Nix will not be coming close to that statistic.
Drew Brees is very accurate from 4 yards away. Bo Nix is very accurate from four.
Why
yards
do
away.
You take shots at Drew Brees all the time? I don't understand
take shots
this.
At Drew Brees because Drew Brees allowed Tom Brady to come into his house, beat him in a playoff game, and then play catch with his kids on his home football field. I can't allow that. Okay, I can't allow it. It's too much.
It's hard to argue. I mean, if we're talking about Notre Dame and the entire draft, just take Joe Alt. I mean, that's the move. If you're Chicago, take Joe Alt number one, and that's the move. But
that's the quarterback equivalent of mowing another man's yard without asking for permission or having a good reason to do it.
I tried to move on because you're right, and you don't need to triple down on Drew Brees.
The first thing you should have done was like blindside tackle, knock the ball off his hand, be like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, man? I'm right here.
During the national championship game, they showed Drew Brees and Bill Murray doing a flex off.
Okay. Yeah, I did see that.
And the way that Drew Brees handled it was the best that Drew Brees could do. No shade to him at all.
Yeah.
But then when Bill Murray's on the other side, it just was a bad look for Drew Brees. Like, you can't.
What's your
endgame? You have to be
here,
sillier. You can't go actual muscle flex against Bill Murray one to one. Bill Murray's going to win that, even though your arms still look like they're in great shape.
Yeah, he could have like made out with his wife, and then Bill Murray wouldn't be able to do that because he's kind of under sketchy suspicion stuff, like being inappropriate with people, and be like, checkmate, Bill Murray. But I mean, have we talked enough about Bill Murray's son kind of being the architect behind UConn's offense? because that's insane. That whole story was insane.
It's very cool. And he's probably going to get his own head coaching job here in the next year or two.
He should. He should. God, we didn't even talk about, I completely forgot about Coach Cal, because we talked at length about Coach Cal, and now he's in Arkansas, and like that just happened, and it's amazing, and I love it so much, and there's no reason for that to have happened, but it did. So okay, I'm gonna go begrudgingly, I'm gonna start Caleb Williams, and then I'm gonna sit Drake May, and I'm gonna cut Jaden Daniels only because he has a death wish.
Is there a chance that Drake May becomes the best one out of here, but both of us are just not interested in that storyline? Because I can definitely see that. I can see him being like, not Phillip Rivers, but half of Phillip Rivers.
I think if I had to bet, that's what I would guess. I think there's a secret side of me that has Mitch Trubisky trauma. And I'm like, what if he's elevated Trubisky?
You know, I think that's Sam Howell. And Drake May has a chance to be elevated Sam Howell. So it's like Trubisky, Howell, and then Drake May is what we thought any of them could be.
Okay. I'm good with that. I'll ride with that.
I like Jaden Daniels. I actually do hope that he goes to Minnesota. Like, some of the projections now have JJ going to the Patriots at 3 and then Marvin Harrison going 4 to the Cardinals. I would like to see Jaden Daniels in Minnesota with that coach, Kevin O'Connell. I think that that would be... Am I doing this to Jaden Daniels because of Kellen Mond? Oh, no. Am I trying to fix my Kellen Mond?
You have got a lot of wreckage and sloppiness in terms of who you love as quarterbacks and what you want for them, and you just need to clean it up. Maybe you need to take a spring off and just not think about quarterbacks.
I'm a whore for quarterbacks. There, I've said it. What else do we want?
It's true.
I want them to be happy, and I want them to play well. Is that a crime in this America, in this economy?
You with quarterbacks is me with movie trailers. When I see him, I'm like, that's an award winner. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be great.
And I think my problem is I also do that with movie trailers. I think I have a couple of things that I just get real excited about, and then the application of them never pans out for me.
You know what, buddy? If that's the worst thing you do, I think you're doing okay. I think you're doing really okay. You know what? Secretly, you know what this is? I don't dislike JJ McCarthy as a person. I really think he's kind of a cool kid. Like, I hope good things for him. He does not need to go in the first round. The worst thing that happens to him is going in the first round. He needs to go second, third, fourth round.
I totally
agree. Low expectations. No one expects anything from him. And then he shows up and it's like, oh, he can actually throw down the field now. But to go from that offense where they asked him to do nothing down the field, and that's not a cut against Michigan. They didn't need him to. There's like, we can just like murder people. Like, we literally just don't even need you to throw. To now, like, we're going to have you thread the needle against complex defenses. It's setting him up to fail. It's not going to work.
I totally agree. And that's where Sam Hartman is in such a good place. He's going to go third, fourth round. He's going to have a chance to make the team, right? And there's going to be way less pressure than even JJ McCarthy. If JJ McCarthy honestly goes in the top 4 or 5, or somebody trades up that high for him, that is an overreach, period. Like, wouldn't you wait until round 2 for Michael Penix, or trade up in the bottom of the first round for Michael Penix and take a chance there over JJ? I would, but he's coming off a national championship, and like, somehow the backup quarterback being JJ McCarthy sells tickets.
This feel, there's always like one or two quarterbacks that get super gassed up to like, they're definitely going in the top 10, and then it's probably top 20. And then like, first round's over and they haven't been drafted. You know, like, I'm thinking like Malik Willis from Liberty a couple years ago, where it's, I don't know why it happens, but it just happens. I feel like JJ McCarthy.
Will Levis, both taken by the Titans, ironically.
Will Levis actually looking decent last year, to be honest with you. You know?
I don't know that he looked decent. It's just that when he got truck sticked, he got back up. And that's what I'm nervous about for Jaden Daniels.
He's not going to get back up. He's just going to be like, there's going to be like a Jaden Daniels sized hole in the turf, unfortunately, because he's not even like 200 pounds. Okay, let's do this. I have, my third book I released, depending on when this comes out, I released it Wednesday, April 17th. It's called Go to Bed Angry. And essentially it's a reconsideration of generic old cliche marriage advice. Each chapter takes like a piece of advice and is like, this is why this is wrong, and here's how it could be better. So in honor of that, I wanted to see, like, is there a seminal piece of marriage advice that you have that you apply to your marriage with Miss Waterfalls? Or is there one that, like, you've experienced that you're like, this is definitely wrong? Like, I just wanted to like open up the floor for that kind of conversation.
She typically does not listen to the show. So now I've got to measure how much do I take on the chin here of like the best marriage advice is don't be a butthead, right?
Okay.
Like just compromise constantly, communicate. Yeah. And I fall on that side of it, but you know, it takes two to tango, et cetera, et cetera. I think the biggest advice I would give is know what the plan is for dinner before it's dinner time.
God, that's really good advice. Like it's simple, but it's really good advice.
Because you attempt to always eat dinner or coordinate dinner together, depending on schedules, and maybe you have children, maybe you don't, but extracurricular activities. I've got softball tonight, so we know that I'm on my own for dinner, and she's got the kids this evening. But that is one of the things that is, you know, 5 o'clock, early in the marriage, 5 o'clock, I'd be driving home. Hey, what's up? Do you want me to pick something up? Are we cooking? Are you cooking? Am I cooking? Like that added stress. If you can just do that the morning, the night before, during the day via text, she's in the lab. She can't really text during the day. We're not really one of those couples anyways. I got to say, I don't know what couples talk about. Like I used to work in an office with multiple people and there would be people that talk to their spouse like legitimately 10 plus times a day.
That's too many times to talk.
I don't know what all the information was, to be honest. I still don't know what it was. So shout out to those couples. But I'll say like a text here and there or whatever, lunch break, coordinate, night before. I think that de-stresses a lot of situations if it's known what the plan is. I'm not telling everybody on Sunday night, make sure you know what's for dinner every single night. Because that for me in my house, that's a more fluid situation to plan out the entire week. Kudos to people that make that happen. But just before 5 o'clock, have your dinner plan known by all parties.
Fail to plan means plan to fail, you know, with dinner. I think that's a great word.
Extra chapter in your book.
You know, obviously you can read the book for advice, but I heard this recently. This is not in the book. I wish it had been. But someone was talking about when they are in a fight with their spouse, their partner, they, instead of looking at it from like the personal defensive position, you know, where it's like, I need to explain why you're wrong or I need to defend my position here. They said they try to consciously zoom out and say, you're engaged in a discussion or a disagreement with someone you love. And like, you want to, protect emotionally, physically, romantically, and you want to take care of, and you're bonded to for life. Now, how do you resolve this situation? And I was like, that's a really interesting framing of taking yourself out of it and maintaining the perspective of, I chose this person. I love this person. I'm going to stay with this person forever. Now let me resolve this instead of, I'm just going to kill this. I'm going to destroy them in this argument. And then we'll pick up the pieces later. If you're interested in the marriage book, Go to Bed Angry. You can go to knoxcore.com. There's a pinned post. You can see it. And then you can go, it's essentially 14 chapters, 90 pages of ebook, over 3 hours of audiobook. And it's not just like me reading it, like, duh, 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 duh. Like there's music, there's scores. I did like a special intro, outro song, mashup deal. There's production value, et cetera, et cetera. There's
eight celebrity guests.
Actually, there's nine now. I didn't tell you about everybody. Muffum, Tony Danza, he showed
asterisk.
Up,
so there's no asterisk. Celebrity guests.
Yeah, there's. But no, I mean, it depends on your definition of celebrity.
You listen, know? Listen through. Maybe there is.
You don't know. You don't know. And this is part one, so maybe they're in part two. Who knows? But yeah, there's AI chapter art. The audio ebook, and it's sold together. You don't have to buy it separately. So there's discount codes available depending on if you're a supporter of this podcast and newsletter, or if you're just free subscriber or Patreon, BFOTS, or even founding members. Founding members of the newsletter got it for free, so they already know that. But yeah, if y'all check that out, if you're so interested, that would be amazing. Jason, do you want to wrap up here and talk about Team USA, the squad that they put together for the Olympics? It felt a little late to be putting it together, the roster, to me at least, because it felt like the Olympics are imminent, they're upon us, and I guess I thought they already had this sorted.
I think that getting not meddling or getting bronze, whatever happened like in FIBA, this, that, or the other last summer, the only two that carried over are Anthony Edwards,
okay,
and I think Tyrese Halliburton.
No idea. I don't even remember the FIBA. I don't even remember what place, when that happened, who was involved. I know
but to your point, Do you think they had to like solidify these commitments? And I also can't believe that all of these names actually committed. So it does feel late. It does feel weird. And I've not, like, we've got a 45-year-old LeBron. I mean, he's actually younger than us, but playing in these Olympics, Kevin Durant, et cetera. Like, this is an elite old squad. Do you give any chance to the Spains, the Canadas of the world, or are you like everybody's getting punished by 50?
I appreciate your question because I could see that twinkle in your eye that you wanted to ask me if I'm going to bet against Team USA again in these Olympics.
Yeah,
and I do want to confirm I am going to bet against them.
What? You bet on Australia last time. That was so crazy. Who is your team this year?
Hey, and listen, if Olympic basketball games were only two quarters or one half, I don't know how they do it, I would have won that bet. So so basically a win in that perspective. I don't know. I have no idea about international basketball. I think the value is going to be not Team USA. As an American, I will root for them. But to your point, there's a lot of names, a lot of splash, right? When it gets down to international basketball, I'm not so certain like this is the greatest assemblage of complementary parts, you know, because it is. It's kind of like 35 plus heavy, like LeBron, Steph, KD, Joel Embiid, who can't stay super healthy. I don't know that he's super in shape. And then Anthony Davis. I mean, there's a world where they just like boat race people by 25 and win. But I think there's also a world where they're just not scoring very well and they're not working together very well. I'm most interested. I like the Tyrese Halliburton. I like the Drew Holiday, some of the glue guys. I'm really interested to see how they resolve the Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker.
And Jason rivalry. Tatum.
And Jason Tatum, because I know like aesthetically who I prefer, Anthony Edwards, because anytime you can block someone by also hitting your head on a backboard. And honestly, a couple weeks ago was the most electric blocked into game I've ever seen in my life. Devin Booker's not as exciting, but he might be more effective. But if like, is there any world where you would be interested in joining me on a bet against Team USA while still rooting for Team USA?
Heck no, absolutely not. And what is the team you're taking? The field? Because that's not going to be great odds.
Absolutely.
I know, but that's not going to be great odds either. No. Anthony Edwards is about to have a coming out party. He is about, like, he already had a great season. It's going to be the Anthony Edwards show. When you talk about Devin Booker, it's going to be the Anthony Edwards show. He's got the energy to do it. He's got the skills to do it, and he's going to do it.
You think he's starting over Devin Booker? Because, like, when you're trying to break down, like, what's the starting five here? Because, like, obviously, Kawhi, they're in the news because they announced roster. Kawhi was just announced as joining as a late addition. I don't know if we can depend on him.
They got really weird about it. The whole thing's been a little weird, but maybe that's because NBC is asking them to hold it and announce it on the Today Show, whatever. But then they were like, oh, and there's one more roster spot. And then that one more roster spot was Kawhi, who is, by all accounts, one of the weirdest people in the NFL, in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, just you never get anything out of him. And probably good for him on that, honestly, at the end of the day. But for us, when we're trying to consume all this, it got pretty confusing. I think from a starting perspective, you go weird. I'm talking about like Drew, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, Steph and Tatum. Like just get weird with it, and then you can rotate through and everybody's confused from the jump.
Because if I'm Serbia or whatever, who has the second best odds plus 750, and I see Kevin Durant and LeBron James not starting, I'm like, what's going on here? What are we doing?
See
what's happening?
I like it.
That's definitely
if LeBron and KD and Joel and all those old slows, who these guys are incredible, they're not even slow at all, come out and then they miss a couple shots, I'm like, okay, well, that was their best squad, right? But if I see those guys on the bench, I like that a little bit better for us. For me and all the other Americans rooting for Team USA.
For the real patriots out there. I know you like to call yourself an American patriot a lot.
Okay, so here we go.
I'll just trash. Australia's plus 5,000. South Sudan and Japan are both plus 30,000 if you want some value there. So
I don't want any of that. I want America.
America. America, son. All right, let's go now to Cameo closest to the pin. All right, so this is round six. We are currently, it's 3-2, you have a dwindling lead. You know, some people have described it as that. We are going to go, we mentioned John Calipari. We didn't really get to talk about him. In honor of his move from Kentucky to Arkansas, we're not going to guess his Cameo. We're going to guess his son's Brad. I'm assuming that's Brad. It doesn't say related, but it doesn't say no relation, so I don't know. It would be weird if he had someone on staff named Brad Calipari that's not related to him.
That is his son, but there could be a separate... Brad Calipari is the name of John Calipari's son, but there could be a different Brad Calipari.
I feel like that's the reality I'm rooting for, because I think that would be like just objectively hilarious. I'm assuming he moved to Arkansas with John, because I don't know. Honestly, can I just say this? The guy Kentucky hired, is it Mark Pope?
Yes, BYU.
I know he's got like roots in the program.
He was on a national championship game team under Rick Pitino.
When I see him, I don't think like, sweet, this is the guy. You know what I'm saying? The aesthetics are not there in terms of coaching, is what I'm saying.
I do, but that is, from all accounts, the highest level person they could get to say yes.
Woof, man, woof. Like, and good for them. And he's probably going to be a great hire. He looks like the adult volunteer youth group who's like secretly really good. A lot of youth
group references. You and your therapist and God and Ashley working through some stuff on this topic as well.
Formative time in my life, my man. Formative time. It all roads trace back to the youth group experience. But for Brad Calipari, we're going to guess his cameo price.
Got mine.
I don't know that this is the right guess, but this is a hilarious guess that I can, in a world I can talk myself into. So I'm going to write it down. Okay. I've got mine.
All right. My guess is $100.
I guess 69. Okay. Cause I could see him being like, 69. Nice. You get that?
Nice.
You can have Brad Calipari.
I'm currently up 3-2. This is round six.
Man. Okay. So there was context here. I feel like I could have used. Okay. Because he's listed like in the profile as coach Kentucky men's basketball. But when he gets to give his info, he says LIU Brooklyn men's basketball coach pursuing my dreams. And in his photo, he's got a blazer over a white turtleneck, like a sweater neck. So I would have gone up like,
what just happened? Did you just pay just a turtleneck? What's a sweater neck?
Well, I feel like when I say turtleneck, you think like a thin kind of almost sheer material. This is a thicker material around the neck. This is not just like any turtleneck.
How do you know?
Oh, I'm seeing it. I can see the texture of it. I can see the robust fabric used to put this on his neck. You know,
it's like a Danny Cannell type situation.
Bigger. It's like it feels like
Adam Lefko. There's a guy on TNT that I really like that fills in for Ernie sometimes, and he'll go turtle something underneath blazer.
Yeah, this feels like he's about to go skiing somewhere like in Europe. And it's very, like in Austria. It's very snowy, so you need extra fabric cover. You can have him for $90.
I win. Thank you.
So I'll file this under protest.
Up 4-2
with the game maker, and be like, you didn't give.
Why would this be under protest? You literally said no. There's context here that I could have used. That's the sketchiest audio that you've put out there in a while.
I need the games maker to speak to that and be like, why didn't you supply the context for this exercise? You know. So asterisk
for both parties.
Asterisk, if you do win this round, there will be an asterisk attached to your name, like Barry Bonds and other notable cheaters of the past. But congratulations to you for your sketchy win, Jason. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Overrunner Achievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagramming, just talking about it loud around other people. You know, that's the best way to help us out. And it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As a reminder, we are recapping Survivor. So if you go to knockscore.com, you can follow us there. And watch along as we recap Survivor Season 46. As always, I'm Noxie's Jason. We'll see you next time.